especially those who are visiting us for the very first time.
Ebusia me ma munyi na akwa ba. E kanka ne woni a ne da di kan ya moni ye som wa hanede.
So, Redeemerites, just I crave your indulgence. Just for this morning, we're going to have two languages.
Redeemers are four. Madaro ma misremo. E sanji me die si ni so poteni ntina ne no ye kasa no e be mienu.
So English and three.
Can
you hear me in the mic? Can you hear me? I can hear myself. Okay, you can hear me. All right. Okay, great. Now, for our guests. Welcome. For Mr. and Mrs. Kusiapia. Welcome. But for the next, we'll have time to celebrate that. Please, can you up the mic a little bit? But for now, I just want us to think about God's word in Hosea. We all long for love. We all want to be loved. Who doesn't want to be loved? We want to be loved. And so some get into incredible healthy relationship with other people. Some people get married. Parents and their children. Even society says that. Why can't we all get along with each other? Why can't we love each other? And the world will be such an amazing, incredible place. Everybody longs to be loved. What is the reason? The reason is that we were created in a relationship of love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Loving each other with eternal perfect love says, let us create human beings. Let us create man. We don't have to. But out of the overflowing sense of love in them, God creates us. Love. And so, we long to be loved because that is how we are made. No one wants to be hated. Who wants their husband to hate them? Or their wives to hate them? Even though it happens, see what it feels it makes to your heart. Because that is not how you're created. You're created by love. From love. That is who we are. That is where everybody wants to be loved. But there is a problem. Let me mention at least three of them. The problem is, number one, no human being can give to another human being the quantity and the quality of love that the human heart looks for. No human being can give the amount of love you need and you want and I need and I want. And the quality of love without fault. Unfortunately, no human being can give you that. The most loving of all husbands is faulted. The most amazing wife, just when you need the love most, they have their own needs to take care of. That is the first problem. Secondly, our view of love is distorted. Was who teach you? Our view of love is distorted. And then it's also limited. Haven't you seen it before? You love, and you love. And what do you expect? To be loved back. Or you love, you're not getting the response back. You start getting discouraged and sometimes you give up. Our view of love is distorted. Children in this church, I go out of my own way to give them lollipop that they haven't paid for. And I give them two. And then I say to them, because I love you, I'm not going to give a third one. In my head, giving this child refined sugar, apart from getting into problems with their parents, it's not good for their health. But for the child, if you love me, why can't you give me a third lollipop? And so their view of love is that love means give me everything that I want every time that I ask you, and I'm a happy child. That's how we view love as children. And so here is what we bring to God. We don't understand God's love. When we say God is love, we think about it purely in human terms. The way a husband loves a wife, and a wife loves a husband, and parents and their children. So when we hear God is love, in our heads, if God is love, God gives us everything we want. And that's what we ask. Every time. It doesn't matter what. So long as it will make us happy. God is love. We are interpreting that love through the lens, our distorted lens of what love is. And so, my friends, in the book of Hosea that was read for us, the Holy Spirit is going to show us something about the very shocking nature of God and of His love. So briefly, let me talk about it in 3 points. The first one is that God's love is complex. God's love is complex. Some people will use a word like God's love is sophisticated. Number two, God's love is complete. It is complex. It is complete. And then the last point is God's love is costly. So number one, God's love is a complex love. So let me give you a just quick overview of the book of Hosea. Today is the last but one for us as a church. So how did we get Hosea, the book of Hosea? Quickly. God calls a prophet. He's called Hosea. The word of the Lord comes to Hosea. And this is what God tells Hosea. Go and marry a woman. The woman who is known in the society to be like a prostitute. Her name was Goma Diblim. Go and marry her. Hosea says, it doesn't say that in the text, but you can imagine it. What are you talking about? And when Hosea goes to tell his parents, they say, you must be crazy.
Are
you bringing shame to us? But Hosea obeys God and goes to marry this woman. Not too long into the marriage, Gomer Diblim begins to show her unfaithfulness. She's sleeping with other men. She is unfaithful. In fact, in chapter 1, verse
9,
when she gives birth to the third child, God says, call this child's name, not mine. That was the name of the child. Not my people. Hosea, Gomer, I don't know where you had this child from. But this child is not mine. Why would God do this to a poor prophet Hosea? When it comes to God's love, until Hosea experiences something of it, not in being betrayed by a friend or by a sister or by a brother, but being betrayed by your wife. And now don't let your mind wander and think, oh, why talk about the wife? You're bringing women down. Has nothing to do with that. Because Gomer is standing in for you and I, God's people. Hosea is standing in for God. And so God commands Hosea, go for this woman. And God is saying, I'm going to punish you, my people. I'm going to judge you. Here is the complexities about God's love. At the same time, he doesn't like what is happening. And he is going to judge his people. He's going to give up
Gomer.
If you want to go with other men, go. Yet at the same time, his heart is going to follow her. Chapter
10
of verse 1. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured in or numbered. And in their place where it was said to them, you are not mine, you are not my people, it shall be said of them, children of the living God. So on the one hand, God out of his love, please go ahead, God out of his love is judging them. On the other hand, he is following them. The love of God disciplines, and the love of God disciplines because the love of God wants to restore. And here is the thing that beats our imagination. It is not going for the good wife. It is going for the unfaithful wife. God's people have gone astray. God could have raised another group of people. And yet he decides that because he has pledged himself to love his people, he will love them to the end. He will bring them to himself. Gomer rebels against Hosea. And yet God commands Hosea to continue to love her, to go after her. So Gomer now leaves the house and gets into the street. Now it is not that men are coming after her. She is going after other men. And then one man, just imagine, it doesn't say, but imagine the drama, takes Gomer into his house. And perhaps not treating her well, not giving her the right food, not supporting her. And then, one day, on the door of the man was a knock. It was Gomez's husband. She comes to the door. He comes to the door with goodies, food, money,
sika,
medicine, and gives it to the man.
And
says to the man, take good care of her. The man shuts the door. And perhaps imagined in his head about Gomez's husband,
Hosea,
you fool. And the thing is taken to Goma. And now she's been provided for. This is what Goma didn't know. It was still this husband that I've been unfaithful to. Who provided these things. Listen. And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, the oil, and who has lavished on her silver and gold. What kind of love is this? God is using Hosea to teach you and I about the depth and the complexities of his love. The person that you expect to be rejected, God takes them in. When we have fallen short, we deserve to be rejected. But for some reason, if you are a Christian here and you are still standing, do you know what the secret is? He chose to love you still and to pursue you, even when I dare say we're so unfaithful. Here is what God is not doing. He's not rejecting his people, but he's also not affirming them in their sin, which is what we do. When we give love, 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 and we do not get it back, we either reject, or in order to keep the peace, we affirm people, we overlook wrong. And yet God doesn't act that way. He moves out of his love to keep his people, draw them to himself, and still deal with the sin. So, Hosea 11. Don't worry, did I then you have any Hebrew 11? We'll be getting there. It goes to the second point. God's love is complete. By the time you get to chapter 11, Gomez's behavior, it seems it has now affected their children. And so the picture changes from marriage to now a parent and a child. This is what he says. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offering to idols. It's the same problem. The same unfaithfulness. Let me tell you the story. God walked into the streets of Accra. In the middle of the traffic, he saw a little toddler, a little boy, without clothes on, dirty, hungry, malnourished. And then God took this child and brought this child home, washed the boy, cleaned the boy, new clothes, fed him. He started growing. He looked so blessed. Beautiful boy. And then when he got to a certain stage, the more this father who has adopted him was calling him, the more he kept going away. I will not come to you. What shows that you love me? If you loved me, then why am I going through what I'm going through? If you loved me, why aren't my parents like this? Why haven't you given me this? He's just forgotten that it was out of Egypt, the place of slavery, that I called my son. And yet, now my son is putting his trust and love in other things, the very things that I have given him, and saying to me, don't call me. Oh, that's how the people of God are. No matter what God has done for them, it is always, why haven't you done this? If God loves me, if God cares about me, then why not when? Why has it taken so long? And so they devise their own means to make themselves happy, not God. They always turn. Israel is like this street child. And behold, the church is like the street child. For the sake of time, let me go to the last point for you. This complete love of God. As I said earlier, it is not just bringing Israel close. It also wants to change Israel. In actual fact, anytime you are brought to God, anytime God brings us close, he changes us in the process. It is like God wearing a very beautiful, powerful perfume. And then he brings you so close. And then he hugs you. Even when you are smelly, the perfume is so powerful, so beautiful, that because you're so close to him, it begins to get onto your own body. You begin to smell like him. And instead of the smell that makes you want to hide, for Christ's aroma on you because he's drawn you close, now you can confidently step out into the world. He's changed you. I smell like him. It brings me a new confidence. But let me finish off. This love is always costly. The free love of God that he passes on to us comes at a cost to God himself. Let me show you something in verse 8 of chapter 11. God is going to open up his heart to us. God is going to open up what is going on inside of God. It is shocking. He says, my heart, ESV says, my heart recoils.
ESV
says, go to the NIV, project the NIV. The ESV says, my heart recoils within me. NIV says, my heart is changed within me.
NIV says,
do you know that that is one word? It is the same word for overthrow. Like the way Sodom and
Gomorrah
were overthrown. Like the way you overthrow a nation, a city, You shatter the city. God is saying that when he looks at
Israel
walking off in spite of God's love, do you know what that does to God? His heart is shattered. His heart is overthrown. Can God's heart be overthrown or shattered? I don't know. But he tells us right here that is what happens to him. His heart bleeds for his children. His heart is wrenched. My heart is wrecked. Like the way a cartoon cars will bump into each other. Recently, I had an accident, head-on collision. And then I was in the car, sitting, airbags off, smoke coming out. And then I sat quietly in the car. People were screaming outside. I wanted to be sure that I'm not bleeding. And then eventually somebody lifts the airbag and says, there's somebody in the car, he's dead. And so I gently opened the door and then I stepped out. When I saw the car wrecked, mangled, when God's children are going astray, thus, God says, that is my heart. My compassion begins to well up. Do you remember Jesus on the road to Jerusalem when he was going to die? He was looking at Jerusalem, the city that will never accept the prophets. And then he cries. He says, oh, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem,
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have longed to gather you, to have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And yet you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here is a costly love. When we go away from him, when we refuse to respond to his love, he's not sad. His heart is wrecked. And Jesus demonstrates it on the road to the place that he was going to be killed. Going to be killed by a people who have rejected God's love. And yet, he was willing and he was happy to ascend the cross for these children who were called out of Egypt. Do you know when Jesus was little, he went into Egypt around 2 years old because Herod wanted to kill him. And the scripture says that it might be fulfilled. The scripture that says, out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus is the only one who was called out of Egypt and responded to God's love the way he should. In perfect, unconditional obedience to God. Even to the point of death on the cross. In the place of those who rebel against God's love. That they might be brought brought to God. This is the love of the true husband. God himself made possible to us by this son who was called out of Egypt and who obeys and submits to the Father. Unconditional obedience. Ene ye mumu ye nyina chi no onyankopon ebeje ya tum sene ye Hosea eje go ma de tum no se ubetia na odo ho be ma Kristo a enkenye wiase mu nkoa ewiase a eba no nsoso no ewiase bi ba se wiase na eba no nsoso no ubenye mu dan kwa onyankopon asem nie. If you would respond to this love, those of you who, because of some sin, you've just hidden yourself, I challenge you to respond to God's love in Jesus in repentance and tell him you want to give him unconditional obedience. For those of you who are struggling to love other people who have hurt you, it may be somebody so close in your life. You may want to turn your eyes and look at the Hosea story. You are Goma. Let that grace, pray that grace of God's love into your heart that you might be able to love the unlovable. Let me pray for you. Our Father, we thank you for your word and we pray that you will have mercy on us. And I pray it in Jesus' name.